Welcome to the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast with your co-hosts Matthew Davis and Matt Kupferle.
Hello, and welcome to episode 42 of the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I am Matthew Davis, and I am going to be joined with both of my co-hosts, Matt Kupferle and Brock Miller. And today's episode, we are going to be discussing the upcoming trade deadline, which is July 31st, and we will be identifying which teams are buyers and which are sellers. After that, we will predict landing spots for some potential players that are going to be on the move, and then we will do that by breaking them down per division and each team from a micro view. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm awesome. First of all, I just wanted to point out that we were recording early in the morning, and I love it. I'm not sure I could think of a better combination than talking baseball with my homies and drinking some coffee.
Yeah, welcome from the spicy, humid Midwest. It's about 80% humidity already here, so a lovely morning in St. Louis. But no, I'm excited to get going and talk some baseball.
Yeah, so some of these players that could be on the move will have fantasy impact, so we will discuss that as well when we bring up a player. We'll talk if their value could be on the rise, if their value could be on the downfall due to, you know, a skip in volume or whatever. So let's start with the AL East, and we'll begin with the teams that are at the top of the standings, and that is going to be the Boston Red Sox. They're currently 58-38 and lead the AL East, but we do know that they have some spots that they could get a little bit better in, quite frankly, and that might not be on the offensive side. I was thinking maybe they could use a starting pitcher or a relief pitcher. They are getting back Chris Sale. Brock, let's start with you. What do you think the Red Sox will do?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there, and I think the first thing that we'd assume that they're going to do is maybe try and add a starting pitcher there. That kind of seems like the most logical thing, but I kind of remind people that in the past we've seen teams maybe in a similar spot there when the path to add starting pitching isn't as clean as they'd like it to be. Sometimes teams will just go a different route and just try and really beef up a bullpen and stuff. So I think they're probably looking for starting pitching, but I wouldn't really rule out them just trying to beef up and maybe build like a super bullpen there at the end of that game. You know, obviously they've got Barnes and Ottavino back there, but otherwise kind of a and they got the rookie kid there, but otherwise kind of a weak bullpen. So maybe they could even go that route there, but I'm with you. They're going to add pitching because that offense is really good already.
Matt, do you think with the addition of Chris Sale, if he's healthy and continues to add volume to his pitch count right now that he's working on in rehab, do you think Rodriguez, Eovaldi, Pivetta, Sale, Richards, Perez, do you think that that's enough and they should just attack relief pitching?
Yeah, I think they're definitely going to need at least a relief arm because I don't know how long they're going to let Sale go into games. Like you mentioned, he's going to continue to work on building pitch count up, but it's always a dicey, you know, situation to rely on. We've seen time and time again where people come back from the injury and, you know, they're really not, you know, able to go full blast until really the following season. The first returning season is almost like a ramp up period. The second season is where they can kind of let loose. I am concerned. I don't know what they're going to be in the market for. Garrett Richards has been a bit up and down. I don't know that they trust Martin Perez a whole lot. Pivetta has been up and down. So they've really got Eovaldi and like Brock mentioned, a bunch of bullpen arms. I'd love to see him add another piece and Sale. Then I think that really thrusts them in the conversation of can they contend with the AL teams? This AL wildcard or this AL playoff landscape is going to be bananas because I think there's some very strong teams in the playoffs or looking to make the playoffs. So I think they need at least another arm.
How about Kendall Graveman?
Yeah.
You like that?
The mold. Yeah. As far as the starting rotation goes too, you know, Tanner Houck is only thrown 21 innings at AAA this year. So it's kind of working out for him. You know, a lot of these other young pitchers like him are kind of reaching innings limits and, you know, he's only thrown 34 innings so far this season. So nice little addition for potentially the starting rotation there. I know that they've used him out of the bullpen so far, but
Yeah, he's slotted to start on or did he go yesterday against the Blue Jays or no? Is it today?
I think he was supposed to go. Richards.
Yeah, I know he's supposed to go against the Blue Jays, and then after that he gets the Blue Jays again. And then he gets Tampa Bay. So things will lighten up a little bit eventually, but his next couple outings are difficult. I mentioned Kendall Graveman as a potential landing spot in Boston. Let's discuss that. So I know that he is well-owned in the NFBC. He's been a fantastic pitcher this season. If he gets traded to Boston, we know that the Red Sox just extended Matt Barnes. I don't think Kendall Graveman would be getting any save opportunities whatsoever. He has 9 on the season in 30 innings pitched. He's increased that strikeout rate, which is up to 26.4%. The walk rate's down to 5.5%. So he has that sparkling, 20-plus percent K-minus walk rate. We know that he's been legit this season. Would he be somebody that people would have to drop if he did get traded to a team like Boston?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, I agree too. I don't think he puts up enough good peripheral stats like Colin McHugh or Garrett Crochet or anybody else that you can just throw him in your lineups, right? I don't think he's giving you enough in whiffs or in line for a win that he's going to help you too much.
Absolutely. I think, as far as the closer role goes, they'll roll with one of their guys that they've, been rolling with all year. So
the Tampa Bay Rays are hot on the Boston Red Sox tail. They are only one game back in the East, sitting at 57-39, but I have no clue what they're going to do. And I don't think any of us do, but I believe that they will be buyers, but it's just hard to predict what this team is going to do. Do either of you guys have some sort of idea?
Nobody knows what the fuck they're going to do. They're the craziest team I've ever seen. I cannot figure them out whatsoever. They're probably going to trade for like 4 more left-handed bullpen arms, which are going to be unbelievable with better reverse than anything, and just throw some random asses out there. I cannot figure them out at all. What's going on? Offense is cooking. Your boy, he's been pretty good, Maddie. Brandon Lau, he's been good lately. So I don't know. It feels like they could maybe, in my mind, from a lineup perspective, they got Wendell, they got Austin Meadows, they got Brandon Lau. I'd love to see a true right-hand middle of the lineup thumper. But I don't know what that bat is. They love the mix and match, right? So I'd love to see something like that. I don't know where it is, and I don't know where they play. I mean, Kiermaier's lefty only, right? He's not a switch hitter. It feels like a very left-handed heavy lineup, which is why their splits are so bad. They're striking out almost at a 30% clip against lefties. It's a really fun DFS target for me, but maybe that's the addition. I don't know. If somebody knows, Jason Collette, somebody else, please tell us what they're going to do, or Yancey.
I know Jorge Soler hasn't been good this season, but the Royals are going to be looking to sell, and he could be a right-handed DH for them against left-handed pitching potentially.
Yeah, Brock, I hadn't thought of that at all, but I actually like that fit. He's a good fit. I know Nelson Cruz has been floated for the Jays and for like Oakland and some other teams, but just now that you mentioned Soler, the first thing that I think of then is Nelson Cruz would be kind of a good fit as far as that goes. And I mean, looking at the rotation, I kind of like where they are there. I don't know, Rich Hill looks like the end is near, honestly. I mean, he's been really bad.
From the Dick Mountain that way.
I know. I hate to say it because I really love him. He was so much fun to watch as a Dodger, and there's just no way I could never, not be rooting for him. But I'm not having any impact there. He's been pretty bad. I don't know that they're just not that team to go out there and trade for a Kyle Gibson type. Like, that's kind of not like a thing that they've done in the past. They're always finding a unique path to get to where they're going. So I wouldn't really predict anything like that. But,
Brock, what do you think about this? This will never happen because the Cardinals aren't smart, but they're not going to re-sign Arenado because he presumably probably hates St. Louis like the rest of us do. What if they traded Nolan Arenado to the Rays?
Wow.
We should be in full rebuild mode in St. Louis, right? I mean, Yachty's old. Adam Wainwright's old as hell. I love Adam Wainwright, but 42, 41, 40.
Yeah.
Goldschmidt, love him. He's resurging. Tommy Edmund can't get the ball out of the infield. I mean,
yeah,
bad team.
I mean, I definitely think that the Cardinals should be looking to kind of like retool things. Well, I don't, yeah, they got some.
They got Nolan Gorman coming up next year. He's going to be the second baseman. Yeah. Matt Carpenter is horrific. Matt Carpenter had his third on Tuesday or on Monday night when they gave Arenado a day off. Matt Carpenter hasn't hit a ball hard since that stretch in 2019, and he
bats. Why are we talking about Matt Carpenter?
Yeah, that'd be a blockbuster play. I hadn't really thought of that, but that'd be a pretty interesting one. I don't know, but
John Mozeliak won't do that. He's not going to eat that.
Right? The Cardinals.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, the Cardinals are just not the rebuilding type. They never seem to. But yeah, Tampa Bay's pretty interesting there. I mean, obviously their bullpen's good. It always is there, so I could see them adding a bat there.
Yeah, that would be a good addition. Even in the bullpen, like Matt said, that would be a nice piece for them as well. And I'm sure that they would sprinkle some dust on whoever they do acquire, and it'll end up being a good addition for the Rays. Moving on is the New York Yankees. They're now 7 games back in the East, sitting at 50-44. So they are 6 games above 500. And I have down for their needs everything. So it's hard for me to try and figure out who specifically they would go for. But one person off the top of my head that I thought would be a nice fit that wouldn't cost too much would be somebody like Robbie Grossman. They need a guy that can move on the bases and get on base. So I would like to see Robbie Grossman go to the Yankees.
That's a perfect call because they are two station to station. I know that's a horrible, but they cannot do anything without hitting a 3-run home run. And I know that's probably blasphemous in today's game, but they don't run, period.
Somebody that can play center, you know, somebody that defensively can handle center field. Brett Gardner needs to not be out there.
What would that do to his fantasy impact? He's having a nice season, 15 home runs, 11 stolen bases. I know the batting average isn't too great, but he is getting on base, like I mentioned, and the counting stats are there, even with the Detroit Tigers at 50 runs, 45 RBI. Yeah, I think those numbers would go up, right, in a better offense and a better park, and then the opposing park factors would be better as well when you include Fenway Park and when the Blue Jays go back to Rogers Center and you have Camden Yards in Baltimore or whatever they're calling it now. So that would be fun. What about pitching? Who are they going to look to acquire? They're going to bring back J.A. Happ?
I was just going to ask, if they get into a playoff series and it's not the one game wild card, like who lines up after Garrett Cole? I mean, it's a bad staff as currently constructed today. I mean, Asher Wojciechowski pitched yesterday, right?
Yeah, he's been in there. They absolutely need starting pitching if they're not waving the white flag, which that's another team like the Cardinals. They never wave the white flag there. So I think that they definitely need starting pitching. I like to call with Grossman. You know, they've been heavily linked to Joey Gallo, kind of for same reasons. You know, can hit left-handed, can balance out the lineup a little bit there and play center field. So I like that there. But I really, you know, they really need some help with that starting rotation there. And they kind of are one of those teams to go out there and make an ad like a Kyle Gibson or, you know, I don't know if they have the pieces for Jose Berrios, but, you know, maybe a reunion with Michael Pineda. Do you think they hate him?
I have a spot for Jose Berrios, actually, and that we're going to mention him next.
Yeah.
I would like to see him go to the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's a good fit. That'd be Toronto, that offense is so good. Get him some arms, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And a right-handed arm would be nice in that rotation. They have, you know, Mats and Ray, who both are from the left side. So having some stability, you know, we know that Berrios can go deep into games and he's still youthful. He's 27 years old. He's a free agent in 2023. So they would have control of him next season as well, which would be just awesome. Even if they don't end up cracking the playoffs this year, they're going into next year with another added arm to their rotation. I think that would be an awesome fit.
They're one that needs to make that trade as soon as possible. I mean, the hardest thing for the Blue Jays is, right, they're going to have to, in order to even make the playoffs, You got to think that one of Oakland or Houston's going to be in the wild card situation, or whatever we're calling that game now. And then you've got the trio that they're currently looking up at in the standings with the Rays, the Yankees, and the Yankees. So they've got to do some movement just to get in. They obviously scream for a starting pitching target, but they need to make that move sooner rather than later, because down the stretch they play a pile of AL East games, and they got to stay within shouting distance. They've got the best run differential in the AL East, so clearly it's not the offense that's not clicking. They got the two lefties up at the top of the rotation, but they desperately need an arm for sure.
Anything to add to that, Brock? Are you ready to move on?
No, I think we're good with the Jays. I did mention somebody had linked Nelson Cruz to the Jays, but I don't really see them thinking too much about the offense there. So I like Berrios, and they could use a closer too. I think they could, you know, I mean, I think any of the playoff teams can use more relief arms. You know, I don't think there's anybody that you can definitively say trade for no relievers. So I would just kind of add them to that obvious pile there.
Well, the one seller I have for this division is the Baltimore Orioles. They're 31-64. They're 26 and a half games back in the AL East, and they're absolutely cooked. So what do they do? I'm not entirely sure. I kind of combed through their roster, and the one thing that I thought could be interesting would be if they traded Trey Mancini. He's arbitration eligible next year, and then he's a free agent in 2023. But other than that, I don't think that they're going to get rid of John Means, and maybe an outfielder potentially. But yeah, I didn't have too much for them, but we do know that they're going to sell. Do you guys want to add anything to the Orioles?
You know, I don't have any like super insider information. I'm kind of mostly just reading the same shit that you guys did, but I did see it mentioned that they could potentially try to sell high on like one of the relief arms or whatever, Paul Fry, even in a Cole Sulcer. So that's kind of interesting just to kind of take note of. I mean, I know that the closer situation in Baltimore has been a little bit of a carousel this year, but maybe if we can kind of pare it down by a couple arms would make things a little bit clearer there. So, something to keep an eye on, though.
All right, we're going to move on to the next division, and that is the AL Central. The team sitting at the top is the Chicago White Sox at 58-38. They could potentially use, what, a middle infielder? Every team's going to need a relief pitcher. Brock mentioned that, so I'm not going to keep, you know, beating that dead horse. Every team's going to need a reliever. They have Hendricks, so there's nobody that's going to be coming into this team to be the closer, but middle infield help, potentially some outfield help. Luis Robert is working his way back. They're going to get Eloy Jimenez back shortly as well. So do they need another outfielder? What about Adam Frazier moving over and playing second base due to Nick Madrigal being out for the rest of the season?
I like that one for him, just because their most talented bats, all of them are basically right-handed, if you know, with the exception of switch hitting Yoan Moncada. I do like that there for them. They've been mentioned in a lot of reports looking for, you know, somebody at second base. They've Madrigal's down. They're kind of thin there. Lourie Garcia is just not somebody that, you know, you want manning second base if you're really trying to win a World Series there. So I like him, you know, contact hitter, fits up there with Tim Anderson at the top of the lineup. I think that's a pretty good call. And, you know, like you said, they're going to get those guys back, you know, Eloy Jimenez and then Robert, those guys are coming back. A little bit of a fantasy impact there. I could kind of see maybe Andrew Vaughn losing some playing time. I know that everybody in the world knows that Eloy Jimenez needs to be a DH and needs to stay out of the field, but they haven't really shown that they understand that. I don't know. So maybe Vaughn, you know, some of these other guys that have been kind of fantasy relevant, I know, especially for like DFS purposes, you know, Gavin Sheets has been a guy that people have been looking at. I can't see him sticking around much towards the end of this season with those other guys coming back.
What would be the fantasy impact for you, Matt, if Adam Frazier was sent from Pittsburgh to the White Sox?
So I think if you're a fantasy owner, unfortunately, it's a downgrade for Frazier owners. I don't see him hitting at the top of that lineup. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he slots into that second spot in the lineup and they move some other parts. That lineup just – it's kind of like the Blue Jays with Jimenez and Robert coming back. Robert, I always screw his freaking name up. I just see him being at the bottom, which stinks because he's having a great year. He's a great source of batting average. I like him a lot. I own him in a couple of places, but I do think that probably takes a hit to his value. Now, maybe that's counterbalanced by the fact that high tides raise all ships, and the goodness of that overall lineup just gives him more opportunities. Maybe he's hitting in the, you know, 7-8 spot, and there's just so much opportunity, 6 spot, you know, something like that. But man, there is a wealth of bats there. You got, you know, you're going to have Jake Berger, Gavin Sheets, and Andrew Vaughn, who are presumably fighting for at bats with Robert, Jose Abreu, will probably see some time at DH also, like you mentioned, Brock, but they got to figure out what to do with Jimenez. I mean, there's just a lot of ambiguity there when those guys come back. I love your idea. He is, seems like a perfect fit. They don't have – they're going to be – them getting into the playoffs is going to be the scariest thing for AL teams because they don't have to add to that spot. But that lineup could probably use some help, one or two spots.
His elite – go ahead, Brock.
Well, I do. I like him hitting I think he probably would hit second for those guys just because he's not a strikeout guy at all.
Yeah.
He puts a ball in play a lot, and, you know, Tony La Russa is really going to like that. I could really see him, you know, hitting second. And a guy that doesn't strike out, you know, means, you know, he's always going to be on base a decent amount there. And I mean, the counting stats could really tick up for him there.
Yeah, it's going to be dependent if he hits second or if he hits ninth in that lineup, what the counting stats do. But the offensive lineup is absolutely loaded, so maybe it does thicken things out regardless of where he hits in that lineup. The next team in the AL Central is the Cleveland Indians, but I'm not sure. Are they buyers? Are they sellers? Are they ever buyers? They are 8.5 games back, so it's not like they – are they going to truly believe that they are going to catch up to the White Sox? I know that Savali's going to come back. Bieber's going to come back. They just got Plesac back. What are the Indians going to do, Matt?
I don't think they do jack shit. I think they kind of tread water like a lot of teams are going to do. I don't think they have the horsepower to get past, you know, they can't catch the White Sox, in my opinion. They're 7 games back of Oakland. They are 9 games back of the Rays. That's just to get into the wild card game. They're the Indians, like you said. I think they're going to do nothing or possibly sell and kind of try to see what happens for the rest of the year. But, yeah, I think they're going to stand pat. I don't know if that's the right move, but that's what I think they're going to do.
What do you think, Brock?
Yeah, I could see them. I think that they need to sell. They're not, you know, that rotation is not a playoff rotation. I know that's kind of weird to say about, you know, Cleveland after all those years of the one thing that they did have was the rotation. But, you know, there's just too many guys in there that just aren't really ready to be regular starters in Major League Baseball. So I think Cesar Hernandez was signed as a free agent, and he's a rental. So he's somebody, you know, if they don't see long-term with him, I think that they could trade him off there. And, you know, second base market does have some decent names out there. You know, you mentioned Adam Frazier, who's definitely, you know, out there and available, I think, is Drubal Cabrera. And even not to go back to the White Sox, but I think that they were talking about grabbing Edwater Escobar from Arizona and maybe putting him at second base. So he's a second base option. There's a lot of options at second base there, but Cesar Hernandez would be a good one, you know, switch hitter there. So I think there's a fit for him with a lot of teams. Maybe he gets traded, and otherwise, I think that they just kind of stand pat.
Brock, what do you think about what could you see like Eddie Rosario? He's on a 1-year deal.
Oh, that's right.
Could he get traded to like the Braves?
Yeah, that's a good point. No, they just grabbed Jock, so I don't know.
I know. Rosario works. I'm not sold on the Jock Peterson experience, I guess. But.
Yeah. I mean, for what it's worth, it feels like the Braves trust him because they've been letting him hit against left-handed pitching. And, you know, as much as you or I like him against lefties, if they're going to play him, then that's a pretty good vote of confidence from the team that, you know, that they're pretty comfortable with Jock. But I do think that's somebody that I didn't have on my list as a potential trade chip. And I think you're that's a good point. Rosario could be on the move,
Yeah, he's the guy that's going to get shipped out of town. Cesar Hernandez actually has a club option next year with the Indians, so maybe they look to keep him. The next team below them is the Detroit Tigers. We mentioned the potential possibility of Robbie Grossman getting traded out of Detroit, maybe to Oakland, maybe to the New York Yankees, somebody like that. The team below them is the Minnesota Twins. They're 41-55, sitting 17 games back in the AL Central. This is Nelson Cruz's last season. He's going to be a free agent after this year. So where does he go? Does he go to Oakland? Does he go to Houston? No, because they have Jordan Alvarez. So where does Nelson Cruz go? I don't think he goes to Toronto, like you mentioned earlier, Brock. Somebody said that. I agree with you that he doesn't go there. Kind of clogs things up. He can't go to New York. Hell, do you think the Tampa Bay Rays could pony up for him?
Yeah, that's a good fit there. That's a really good fit. Nelson Cruz in Tampa Bay, you know, he's just – he feels like a Tampa Bay Ray. You know what? I swear, if you go on MLB Trade Rumors and search – Nelson Cruz's name, I'll bet you at one point in time over the last like 4 or 5 years where Nelson Cruz has been like perpetually available at the trade deadline as an impact bat, I'll bet you he had been linked to the Rays at least a couple times in the past, because Nelson Cruz just really feels like a Tampa Bay Rays type player that they could put in there. And but I like to fit there. And, you know, Oakland, if Oakland wants to go for it, it's not like, I don't know, Seth Brown. Oh, no. Mitch Moreland's been kind of DHing for them. I think he's kind of a good fit there. You know, a little bit of a balance for Matt Olson. So maybe a fit there. But I think I like Tampa Bay best for him.
You know, if there was a DH in the NL, he'd be super spicy on the Giants. They've got three left-handed outfielders that they play primarily. That would be a perfect fit. Man, that would be perfect, but he just doesn't have the mobility to play outfield whatsoever, right? Yeah.
The last team in the Central is the Kansas City Royals. They're 39-55, 18 games back. We mentioned Jorge Soler being potentially going elsewhere, maybe to Oakland. Mike Minor is somebody else that I thought would potentially be on the move. Do either of you guys have a nice landing spot for Mike Minor?
You know, Minor and even Danny Duffy, I kind of mix those two guys together, older left-handers on Kansas City. I don't think I agree, just because I'm not a big fan of either of those pitchers or whatever, but I did see somebody really smart, and I wish I could attribute this idea to them, because somebody mentioned them for the Dodgers. You know, the Dodgers probably looking for some rotation depth there after having to really, especially the Dodgers, you know, having to dig into the well as far as the bullpen goes. Somebody mentioned both of those left-handed pitchers for the Dodgers. You know, Mike Minor kind of scares me. I was looking him up the other day. The velocity has just been trickling down all season, and it's his recent ineffectivity is really kind of going along with that loss in velocity. So Minor is just I just hope my favorite team doesn't trade for him.
Maybe the Phillies will.
Yeah, they him or Cole Hamels.
Yeah.
Could you guys see Boston for either of those arms?
Yeah, potentially, but I don't know if the Red Sox are going to go after a starting pitcher. I think they might be thick enough there, or at least they think they are.
Let's
jump over to the
team. I think, you know, now that we've been talking about this for a few minutes, I think I don't want to circle back too much, but I think Boston's most interesting team in this whole thing, because the offense is so good, and if they can really add a rotation piece, you know, they could, you know, you could be looking at like an AL favorite for the World Series there if they can add the right pieces, you know, as far as pitching goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. All right, moving on to the National League, we are going to start with the NL East. And the team sitting at the top is the New York Mets. Even with Francisco Lindor and Jacob deGrom currently on the IL, their offense has seemingly picked it up now that they are much healthier with the additions of J.D. Davis, Jeff McNeil, Brandon Nimmo, Michael Conforto, etc. So they are at the top at 50-43. Who are they going to look to acquire? Do you guys have any idea?
I think this DeGrom thing has to play itself out, right? I mean, the bigger concern for me is this team is in total free fall. I am still an Edwin Diaz believer, but there's a lot of smoke there right now with what's going on with that team. I think there's some concern overall with him and his efficacy. I don't think this team wins the division. I think it's going to be the Phillies or the Braves. Hell, the Nationals might even come roaring back from behind. But they've got some major ground to do, I think, at least in my opinion. I mean, they're rolling out Robert Stock and Jared Eichhoff right now in the rotation. I get it. It's because of DeGrom, but this DeGrom thing is starting to get a little bit scary with it's what, his fourth or fifth time missing at least a turn or getting pulled early. I don't know, Brock, what do you think? What do you think about the Mets?
I kind of look at the Mets the same way that I look at the Dodgers. You know, I get on Twitter and kind of scroll through and I see people, you know, they're super hyped about the Giants or Padres or whatever. And I get it. Those teams are fun. And I always think, you know, like, but the Dodgers are like right there for first place and everything's gone wrong for them. And it's kind of the same thing for the Mets. Like, you're not wrong when you say that the team's in shambles and everything's, you know, it's kind of blowing up on them. I mean, you're not wrong there. And they've still won 54% of their games. They're still 3.5 games ahead of Philadelphia for first place in the division. Like, everything's gone wrong for them. And they're still, you know, pretty comfortable, you know, not comfortably, but they're definitely in first place there. I could, if like any luck at all, and I think that they can, you know, separate themselves a little bit. I don't really think the Phillies are as bad as they've been. And you make a good point there. You know, Washington could kind of, you know, wake up there. I don't think they're like a horrible team or anything like that either. But I kind of like the Mets. Everything's gone wrong. They won 54% of the games. I pulled up FanGraphs projected rest of the season. And the Mets are, let's see, where their fifth best win percentage for the rest of the season projections. So they're projected to be a little bit better than they've been, and they're already in first place. And especially, man, you know, we all see this guy on Twitter, Steve Cohen, the new owner. You know, he's out there talking, and you know, he loves getting the interaction on Twitter and stuff like that, and generating interest in his team. He's he's already made the big splash to get Lindor. I think he's just going to keep spending money and keep trying to make splashes there until he can just, you know, force the Mets to be super relevant there. I think they're going to try and make a big splash, and I think Chris Bryant ends up replacing J.D. Davis at third base for the Mets.
Ooh, there we go. Finally, something hot. I like it. That's very nice. I have a different landing spot for Chris Bryant. I didn't mention it in the AL West, but I should have mentioned that I wouldn't mind seeing Chris Bryant potentially go over to the Astros and play outfield for them. But I like the Mets. I like the Mets call as well. Mets or Astros. Either way, if Chris Bryant gets dealt to either of those teams, I think that his fantasy impact would be on the rise as well.
Yeah.
Matt, do you have anything to add with the Mets? Are you ready to move on to the Phillies, Braves, and Nationals?
No, I'm good. Let's hit the rest of that division.
Yeah, so the Phillies, I like them as well. They have a nice 1-2 punch at the top with Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola. We do know that they have bullpen issues. Let's just dive right into that. How about them trading for Richard Rodriguez, who isn't too far away from them in the same state?
He's a good fit there in the Phillies. They've one of the worst bullpens in baseball last year. Things have not really improved for them on that front. I think that they're definitely reported as as being buyers. I've seen that report and stuff. So I think that's definitely something that happens. And I think, you know, Rodriguez is a good fit there. They're definitely going to add to that bullpen. And I don't really see them ponying up to take on Craig Kimbrell, except for, you know Kimbrell is super expensive. The big thing with Kimbrell is I think the team that gets Craig Kimbrell is probably going to be the team that's willing to spend the money. And I don't know, the Phillies have like great prospects or anything like that. Well, it's not going to cost a lot in prospects for Kimbrell. Maybe they could be one of the teams that wants to spend the money on Kimbrell. But yeah, I think Rodriguez is going to be one of the back end bullpen arms that gets moved. That's kind of impactful there. I think they could really use him. He's a good fit there, but I could see the Phillies as a dark horse for taking on the money for Kimbrell.
Yeah, they were mentioned to actually be somewhat willing to potentially go above the luxury tax this year. So it sounds like they do want to push their chips in. The one thing I do find interesting with the Phillies in a positive way is that if they do acquire, let's say, somebody like Craig Kimbrell or Richard Rodriguez, if you're a fantasy owner of either of those guys, if they hypothetically were dealt to, let's say, the Dodgers or the Padres or some other team, they won't be the closer and they would lose that role and they would be losing saves. However, if Richard Rodriguez goes to the Phillies or if Craig Kimbrell goes to the Phillies, you've still got your closer. Yeah. So I think that that's a positive note. If one of those elite relievers does get dealt to Philadelphia, I think that you still have your closer on hand. So yeah, that would be a positive impact for them, or for you, I should say.
Yeah. What about, I know that we're going to kind of get there eventually, but I think that's the big one. I know is, you know, as far as looking for my teams that are kind of struggling for saves, trying to pick, it really seems like Rodriguez is going to be the one to go. Who's going to be next in line for Pittsburgh?
David Bednar.
Bednar. Yeah, he is good.
Yeah, he is. He pitched again last night and was, once again, legit. He has a massive 30.9% strikeout rate. That's getting him to a 21.7% K minus walk rate. He is filthy. He is the guy that they use in high leverage. For the most part, you do see him pitch in the eighth inning for Pittsburgh right before Richard Rodriguez does come in. I mentioned him and discussed David Bednar earlier last week with Paul Sporer on the Fabcast. And the only thing that he said would be if they wanted to, you know, do the finagling of, oh, if he's getting saves or arbitration, et cetera. But I'm not sure that the Pirates would do that. And that would just he's the guy with the best stuff there. So he would be the guy that I would look to add if you're wanting to do that on the cheap right now before this deadline hits.
Yeah, you know, they didn't do that with Rodriguez. You know, Rodriguez is only 3 years into his major league career, and they gave him the closer job. And, you know, because I don't think that they really have to worry too much about it, because if these guys ever gain any kind of relevance, they're just going to trade them away anyway. So
do you think the Phillies could use anything else? Maybe another outfielder?
They've definitely been linked to Starling Marte. It feels like Starling Marte has been linked to half of the contending teams. I've definitely seen that out there, but I've seen, you know, the Phillies kind of linked to him. And, you know, in Marte, you know, I get off topic a lot here, but I want to point out how embarrassing it was that the Marlins reportedly offered Starling Marte 3 years and $30 million. Like that would have been a decent offer to a player of his caliber in like 2004. I mean, $10 million a year for Starling Marte.
Fuck you guys. Yeah, it's pretty bad. Starling Marte to the Giants. I don't want to see it happen, but fuck, they could use him. And they have outfield pieces. They have other pieces that aren't outfielders. They have just enough, I think, to get it done. They have the financial flexibility to do it. Farhan Zaidi is a very, very sharp individual, and I could see him pushing the needle for an everyday leadoff hitter, because we have seen that leadoff spot in San Francisco fluctuate. We've seen Lamont Wade Jr. We've seen Austin Slater, depending on the handedness of the starting pitcher. So I think that that would be a nice fit there. The other two teams are pretty intriguing to me in the NL East, and that is the Atlanta Braves and the Washington Nationals. So you have the Braves, who have already seemingly came out and have said that they're going to be buyers because they've traded for Jock Peterson after losing Ronald Acuna Jr. They sit at 46-48, which is two games below 500. They're 4.5 games back of the NL East, so they're not necessarily out of it by any stretch of the imagination. They need relievers. They need starting pitchers. They could use another outfielder. They need a lot if they want to continue to contend in this division without Ronald Acuna Jr. Apparently, they're wanting to do so. I don't necessarily have somebody in particular that I would say that they are targeting or they should target, because personally, I believe that they should be sellers this season. I think that they should try and sell off somebody like Charlie Morton and Drew Smyly. So that's what I would want them to do or think that they should do. But It looks like they're going to be buyers. So, Matt, please tell me who or what you think the Braves will do.
Yeah, I think you're right. I do think they're going to be buyers. But you're right. You hit the nail on the head also. They need a lot of help in a lot of different spots. This team has been bitten by the injury bug. Everybody's been bitten by it, right? But with Travis d'Arnaud going down, that certainly hurt. Looks like William Contreras, they were hoping the youngster would be ready. He, you know, clearly showed he's probably not there yet. I do think there's, you know, still – this is still a really good offense. It's got some really nice pieces to it. But they're gonna need some upgrades in some various spots too. And I don't particularly love, again, gosh, it feels bad to say it. Rotation's been bit by that too, right? Soroka retore his Achilles. He's out. Gosh.
Ian Anderson's on the IL with the shoulder.
Yeah. I mean, like Kyle Muller's really good, but how many times can they find the Ian Anderson / Mike Soroka and Kyle Muller's and hope that they can pitch you deep into the playoffs? It's just not realistic, I don't think. So maybe they make a move for one of those Royals arms you guys highlighted earlier. I don't know that necessarily moves the needle, but they certainly need some help there. I think the bullpen's fine. I don't know that they need to add to that. I think Will Smith is fine. It certainly could use an upgrade maybe, but man, they need a lot of help. I think you're right, Matthew. I think they're buyers. I don't think they should be.
Well, they have their upcoming schedule is pretty brutal. So they're going on a road trip and they are facing the Phillies 4 times and they're facing the Mets 5 times. They have a doubleheader on Monday against the Mets. So they have 9 games in the next 8 days and they're all against division rivals that are ahead of them in the NL East. By this time next week, when we're discussing where players are being traded at the trade deadline on July 31st, I would not be shocked if they come sellers at that point with who they have in their rotation right now. The offense is, man, it's just not going to be the same without Ronald Acuña Jr. No matter what you do, this team can be locked and loaded again next year with another season underneath Max Fried's belt, Ian Anderson's belt. They can get some grooming done with Bryce Wilson this year and Touki Toussaint. Give those young kids the chance to keep prospering and get rid of Drew Smyly. Get rid of Charlie Morton, because those guys are both free agents next year. If you want to re-sign them, re-sign them. Go ahead. If they're happy there, maybe they can bring one of those or both of those guys back. But they do hold 2 pieces of this massive trade deadline puzzle, and I believe it is Morton and Smyly. And if they end up losing the majority of these next 9 games against the Phillies and Mets, then potentially they do sell off some of those guys. I wouldn't mind seeing the New York Yankees try and acquire Charlie Morton. I wouldn't mind seeing Drew Smyly potentially go to a team like the Cincinnati Reds. So those are a couple of places that I thought would be interesting for those pitchers. It will be very, very telling come the next 9 games. Brock, do you have anything to add to the Braves?
I do. Brace yourselves for impact right now. The exact same thing you just said about Charlie Morton and Drew Smyly. If they like these guys, then you can cash out now and then talk about bringing them back in the off season. Freddie Freeman's a free agent this off season. He feels like a Brave for life. He really does.
Bring him back.
But this is one of those things. They can put him on a contender for the final 2 months of the season. And then in the off season, they could say, you know, hey, you know, business is business. We didn't want to see you go, but you're loved in Atlanta. And, you know, they can re-sign him in the off season.
Freddie Freeman to the Los Angeles Dodgers. Who says no?
Oh, God, here we go.
Just move Max over to second base for the rest of the season. Gavin Lux has the hamstring issue. He hasn't been as good as we would have liked him to be. Corey Seager is going to be back at shortstop. Add another left-handed bat. Freddie Freeman. The Dodgers have all the pieces in the world to do it. Make it happen.
That would
love
be
it.
Beautiful. Yeah. I don't think that they will. I don't think it will. It just, there's some shrewd teams out there. You know, Tampa Bay, they'll trade anybody if it makes sense, right? The Braves kind of feel like, yeah, okay, even if we're going to trail out of it or whatever, we don't want to see Freddie in another uniform. Like, I could definitely see that happening, but it kind of makes sense, man. You know, like you guys said, you know, they're probably going to try to be buyers, but they probably shouldn't be. I think that they should retool, like Maddie, like you said, you know, let Tuki Toussaint get out there and you know, kind of try to get back on top of things at the major league level, you know, kind of use these next 2 months to kind of get ready for next season. I think that's probably what they should do, but I also agree they probably won't. So
if let's say the Braves end up losing 7 of these 9 games, let's be extreme here, and they do start to contemplate on getting rid of Freddie Freeman. People listening, Brock and I are both diehard Dodger fans, if you don't know. So let's rule out the Dodgers. Let's say he couldn't go there. And then when you start to look through the buyers in the market, the Mets have Pete Alonso, the Phillies have Reese Hoskins, the Nationals have Josh Bell. Then you go up to the AL, the Astros, they look to be set there. The Athletics are set with Olsen. The Angels aren't going to do something like that because the contract's going to be up. Then you go to the White Sox, they have Jose Abreu. So if you rule out the Dodgers, the only other teams that would really be able to grab Freddie Freeman would be the Red Sox, the Tampa Bay Rays, or the New York Yankees. I think that those would be the only other 3 spots for Freddie Freeman. It would be interesting to see where he'd go. One of those spots is – all of them are fire.
I don't see any way that team makes the playoffs. With the playoffs going back from the 16 teams last year to 10 this year, the Dodgers, the Giants, and the Padres are all for real. I mean, I think all of those teams are going to be contending, and that likely the division winners and the 2 wildcard spots, there could be 3 playoff teams from the NL West, honestly. The Central sucks. It's going to be Milwaukee kind of wants to win.
They could use Freddie Freeman.
Yeah.
Milwaukee, Freddie Freeman.
Yes.
I think
it just hit me.
The Reds, Nicky Castellanos broke his hand yesterday, right? Or whenever that injury was.
It's a microfracture in his wrist.
I don't think they should be, and we'll talk about them, right? But I think they're invested in Votto. I don't see how the Braves even at this point in time, Matthew, even if they go 5-4, 7-2, it's a fleeting hope that they're going to get in the playoffs, in my opinion. I don't think they make it.
I'll end on this note with the Braves. Freddie Freeman, Charlie Morton, Drew Smyly. If they were to trade all 3 of those players to separate teams, do you know the haul that they would get for all 3 of those guys? And all 3 of those guys can come back next year, and 2 of them aren't going to be expensive in Morton and Smyly. And the whole Freddie Freeman deal, if that ain't getting done this year and it's going to be until the offseason, then fucking A, get rid of him, get some extra pieces, and then bring him back on a massive, massive deal, a lifetime deal, basically.
Yeah.
So the Braves really could come back, and then they're getting Acuña Jr. back next year. They could get Freeman back. They could have all these added, you know, young youth depth pieces from the teams that that would be, you know, acquiring these pieces from them. So be open to it, Braves fans. Zach Betancourt, who's my NFBC high stakes partner in a couple of main events, he's a huge Braves fan and he wants them to sell. So he is in that camp as well with us. The last team that I think is going to be a potential buyer is the Washington Nationals, but I'm just not sure if they are going to be buyers. It's tricky. They're 5 games below 500. They sit at 45-50. Bless you. They are 6 games back in the NL East. Max Scherzer, would they look to move him if they are sellers, or are they going to be buyers? And if they are buyers, what are they going to look to acquire, Brock?
Yeah, the Nats, I think, kind of fall into the same category as the Braves, which is funny because they're both in the NL East. They're kind of the same for me. They're not kind of good enough. Strasburg, I guess it just will never recover from the 2019 World Series. It's just one thing after the next with him, unfortunately for them. Alcides Escobar is leading off for them in 2021. Like, I don't know, man. Like, you know, Josh Harrison is like a mainstay in their lineup. You know, if Schwarber hadn't gotten hurt, you know, that would have helped their, you know, given an awful lot of time to, you know, some of these other guys. Jordy Mercer was playing third base for them. Like, It's pretty ugly. There's just a whole lot of 2012 in that lineup, which is too bad. You know, so obviously Soto and Trey Turner are the opposite of that. But I think that they definitely need to sell. You know, I'm just going to read off the starting rotation behind Max Scherzer real quick. You know, obviously Patrick Corbin's whatever, he's fine. He's kind of a shell of the 2 years ago Patrick Corbin, but he's still at least a major league pitcher. But then you got John Lester, Paulo Espino, and Eric Feedy for that rotation. There's just way too many holes on this team that needs to make up some ground there in the National League East. I think they're like the Braves. They'll probably end up being buyers, but they should be sellers.
Matt?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's just a confusing team. Too many pieces that they need to fix. To me, they're making a run. The lineup is nice. With the Strasburg thing, I think they need to be sellers, but I don't know if they're going to figure it out fast enough.
So their next two series, the first is on the road against the Orioles. If they can't handle their – if they can't get stuff done this weekend against the Orioles, and then they get four against the Phillies. So this week could be very telling for them as well, but GM Mike Rizzo is known to be a buyer, and this is his last season with Max Scherzer. I, too, want to see Max Scherzer get dealt at this deadline with him being a free agent in the upcoming season. However, I think Mike Rizzo is going to be telling himself, I need to push, I need to push, I need to push. And somebody that I think that would be an interesting addition to their offense would be Javier Baez. And if you know me, you know that I'm not the biggest Javi Baez fan. However, the Chicago Cubs are going to be sellers. Javi Baez would be a very interesting second baseman along with a double play tandem with Trey Turner. So I think that that would be a nice piece there. They have two solid left-handed bats in Juan Soto and Josh Bell. At some point, are we going to be seeing Kyle Schwarber come back?
Yeah, he's going to be, oh man, I think he's back before September. He is back. It's a decent hamstring. I think he does come back at some point in August. That lineup would be pretty, I mean, that would help quite a bit there, because then you can, you know, you get rid of Escobar or even, you know, putting Baez at third base there and strengthening the whole left side there with Trey Turner. That'd be a hell of a defensive infield there if they could get him. I mean, Yan Gomes is out for quite a while, right? They could use a catcher there.
They need a lot as well, like the Braves. They need starting pitching. They need relief pitching. They could use a middle infielder or a corner infielder. So, and they could also use an outfielder. So they do need a lot, but knowing this GM, the Washington Nationals GM in Mike Rizzo, his tendencies, they're not that far back right now. And I just think that they'll end up looking to buy as well.
How about this? What they should do is they should be sellers, kind of like we're saying. And Houston Astros have some great starting pitching, but pretty much all of those guys are going to be approaching limits as far as innings go on this season. You know, Luis Garcia could be one of them who's been great. And, you know, that's a podcast for maybe next week or the following week, looking at starting pitchers that could be approaching those innings limits. You know, Trevor Rogers comes to mind for the Marlins. How about the Nationals trade Max Scherzer to Houston?
Yep, him or the Dodgers is where I have him pegged if they are sellers. And that was actually going to be the last question I asked you both about the Washington Nationals, was a hypothetical question, is if they are sellers and they do trade Max Scherzer, I wanted you guys to pick a team that he would land with. Brock, you gave us the Houston Astros. Matt, where do you have Max Scherzer landing if the Nationals do sell?
Well, I was going – you guys stole my thunder. the only other spot I could see is – and I don't know that they have the cojones to do it – is Toronto would be pretty spicy.
The Dodgers or I'm sorry, the Giants and Padres as well.
Yeah. All the big teams should try and get Max Scherzer. Yeah, I agree. Good.
All right. I'm going to ask, we're going to keep it quick and simple with the sellers, and I'm going to ask you guys both. The Miami Marlins, they are in last place in the NL East. I don't think that they're going to end up trading any of their starting pitchers for the likes of Rodgers, Lopez, Alcantara, et cetera, Eliezer, Hernandez. They have quite a plethora of young arms, and they're all controllable still. So I think those guys are safely put in Miami. But Starling Marte, he's the big fish to fry out in South Beach. Both of you guys, give me the landing spot for Starling Marte. And Matt, I will start with you. Where does Starling Marte go?
San Francisco.
Okay. I like it. I mentioned that as a potential spot as well. And that would be a nice spot. I don't think I want him to go there. He would be a pesky opponent down the stretch and quite frustrating to see in black and orange. Brock, where do you have Starling Marte getting traded to?
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to pick any one of them because he really is a good fit on the Giants. I agree there. He really is a good fit for the Yankees because he can play center field. He really is a good fit for the Houston Astros for the same reason. I mean, really good players are a good fit on a whole lot of different teams. And that's definitely the case here for Starling Marte. So I could see him going to any one of those. I mean, just for the sake of the podcast, I'll just pick a different one there. I'm going to go with Starling Marte ends up with Houston, just so that I'm not doubling up on a pick with you guys there. But I like them in all of them.
Houston gets Marte and Scherzer? What are you doing here, Brock? What are you doing? Oh,
God, that would hurt. I mean, they should. They should. They're a good team.
Yeah, they really are. I will go with him landing with the Chicago White Sox.
Ooh, interesting.
They need some outfield depth. Even with Robert and Aloy coming back, I still think that they could use Marte, and especially if you were able to put Marte and Robert in that outfield with Aloy, Aloy wouldn't need much moving around to do, so to speak. So I'll go with the Chicago White Sox. Moving on to the NL Central, we have the Milwaukee Brewers leading the division by 6.5 games, and that is ahead of the Cincinnati Reds. And the team that is right behind the Reds is Matt's St. Louis Cardinals, who are 7.5 games back as well. So those are the three teams that I have listed as potential buyers in the Central, with the Chicago Cubs and the Pittsburgh Pirates being sellers. We mentioned with the Pirates that they would likely be getting rid of Richard Rodriguez and Adam Frazier. And we talked about some spots that they would go. So let's go into the fun part of the Cubs first. So we're going to start with the seller, the big seller here instead of buyers. And that is the Chicago Cubs. We have already seen Jock Peterson on the move. Javier Baez, Anthony Rizzo, and Chris Bryant could finally be saying their farewell in Chicago. So Brock, starting with you, where does Anthony Rizzo go? We're going to break these guys down into pieces here.
Yeah, Rizzo's tough. I'm trying to, you know, we kind of looked through the list. We were talking about
with Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about Freddie Freeman, and I kind of looked through the list, and so whoever applies for him applies for Rizzo. I don't know how much the Cubs want to trade interdivision. I think everybody in fantasy baseball and all the baseball fans understand that it's stupid. Literally trade the guy to whichever team is going to give you the best return. But we also know that GMs just kind of don't do that. So I don't know about Milwaukee, but I could see Rizzo getting dealt to Boston. You know, we mentioned, you know, good old what's his name, Bobby Ballbag, whatever. I think he's okay. You know, whatever. He's going to hit some home runs there, but
hasn't walked in 5 weeks.
Rizzo is a definite upgrade for him. That lineup, you know, they've got Devers, they've got Verdugo, Jarren Duran. I probably said his name wrong. The rookie there, they've got some good left-handed bats there. So, you know, maybe he's not the perfect fit, but they could definitely use an upgrade at first base. And I don't think that they should think twice about doing that. He's an okay fit there. I have an interesting one. A couple of my Twitter buddies are big Padres fans, and so I get to hear what they're thinking out loud quite a bit. And they're always talking about, you know, if Preller is going to find a way, if he could find a way to, you know, pay somebody to take on Eric Hosmer and they could get rid of Hosmer. They're really unhappy with Hosmer because he's not really a good player on either side of the ball, to be honest. I could kind of see, you know, Preller, man, he is trade savvy. You know, he's made some huge trades. You know, he went last off season and came out of nowhere and added two aces when it didn't seem like, you know, like it just, I mean, who saw that coming, right? So I could see him getting creative and finding a way to spend some big money if that's what it takes to replace Hosmer with a capable first baseman. So maybe Rizzo returns back to San Diego.
Matt, do you have a landing spot for Rizzo?
Ooh, I just don't see him leaving Chicago. I really don't think they'll trade him, but I mean, it could happen. He's done so much there. Yeah, San Diego would be a good fit.
They got to get rid of him. He's a free agent. What are they doing if they don't? I mean, the Cubs are only going to take another step back.
If we put him in a hierarchy of likely to get traded from the Cubs, I think Bryant's at the top of the list, right? They've had so many issues, and he, you know, hates them over the handling of his, you know, when they held him back and they ended up going to arbitration over that first season when he'd become a free agent and everything. I think Chris Bryant, we can agree, is as good as gone, right? Like, he's most likely to be traded. I get it, Matt. I think I'm kind of with you in if any of them stick around, it's probably Rizzo or Bryant, but I think that they should be trading them, yeah.
Yeah, I'll go with the Yankees. I know that we've slapped a lot of players' names to the Yankees, but they are going to be trying to purchase some things, and they do need a first baseman. Rizzo has nearly a 50% pull rate. Ooh, him at Yankee Stadium in that offense, hitting right behind Giancarlo Stanton or right in front of Giancarlo Stanton, right behind DJ LeMahieu. That would be a pretty sexy addition to New York, and I think that they could get it done. You guys mentioned Chris Bryant. We talked about him maybe going to the Houston Astros or Brock. Did you say the Tampa Bay Rays or was that Matt? Did somebody say the Rays?
No.
Who had Chris Bryant going? Brock, where did you have Chris Bryant going?
The Mets.
The Mets. Okay. So you have him at the Mets. I have him at the Astros. The Rays. Okay. The Rays. That's a spot that he could go to as well. And then Javier Baez, I mentioned him potentially going to the Washington Nationals. Another team that would be really interesting would be heading to the south side of Chicago and going over to the White Sox to play second base there if they didn't acquire somebody like Adam Frazier or Cesar Hernandez. So Baez could be an interesting fit for the White Sox as well. Do you guys have any fun landing spots for Javier Baez outside of, you know, maybe the White Sox that I mentioned or the Washington Nationals?
What about Oakland?
Yeah, they need a middle infielder. Absolutely. Oh, Oakland would go crazy with that guy. Oh, they would go fucking nuts.
Oh, you guys are giving up on Elvis Andrews?
He would be an awesome fit. And you know what? The Chicago Cubs probably would take Elvis Andrews back in that deal just to have somebody to fill in as a veteran each and every day, because if they did trade all of these guys, the veteran, you know, they would be depleted pretty much. So that's interesting. Oakland would be a fun spot. Matt, do you have anything to add with Javier Baez or do you want to move on?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Let's go on to the last division. Or I'm sorry, I skipped over a couple teams in the NL Central.
Yeah, Brewers.
Yeah, let's rewind here. I'm so sorry. So we have the Brewers and the Reds, who I believe both are going to be buyers. Can you guys both agree with that?
Probably, but the Reds should sell.
Yeah, the Brewers are definitely they don't need arm help whatsoever. But that lineup, God, what happened to Keston Hira? Holy cow, they need some.
All right. Offense. So the Brewers, let's just dive right into them. Then they're at the top of the division. They're 6.5 games up, like I mentioned on the Reds. They're sitting at 56-41, a whopping 15 games above 500.
They are projected.
Legit bullpen.
Yeah, they're projected rest of the season. Okay, I could only see them maybe about 10% above average there, projected rest of the season. But, yeah, 15 games up. This is definitely the strongest team in the division, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I would agree with that. And they're getting Lorenzo Cain back, but they have some sort of weird carousel going on in the outfield. Avisail Garcia, Christian Yelich, Lorenzo Cain, Jackie Bradley Jr., and Tyrone Taylor. So maybe they need to move one or two of these pieces in the outfield to potentially add a third baseman, a first baseman. I definitely think first base is a spot that they would look to highlight. I know that Anthony Rizzo was floated around earlier with us, but that's an interdivision, you know, deal there that might not, I don't think Chicago Cubs fans would be really happy if Rizzo was playing in Milwaukee. So maybe Freddie Freeman. I know that you guys were liking that idea a little bit earlier. Yeah. If they're not acquiring one of those massive first basemen like Anthony Rizzo or Freddie Freeman, who could they go for there? What would be the next option for them? Chris Bryant? That's the same thing, same division, so he can't go play third base there.
CJ Cron.
Okay, there we go. CJ Cron.
CJ Cron at first base. They could use a first baseman. They got Avi Garcia there to hit cleanup against lefties. So maybe Crone's not a perfect fit there. Freddie Freeman. You know, I know it's not going to happen, but man, he needs to. They need to get that done. They need the offense. If you look at the starting rotation, I mean, think about this. The first round of the playoffs, and you got to face Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff. I mean, I don't envy the team. Freddie Peralta, that's going to face those three guys. And then, of course, their bullpen's always great. Man, bulk up this offense. And, I think preseason, nobody really predict the Brewers for a World Series pick there. But, you know, if they could get Freeman in the middle of that lineup, oof.
What about Josh Donaldson?
Ooh. Donaldson's the pick. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the only thing with that is he's expensive for two more years, I think it was.
Yeah. Luis Urias is not a long-term solution, right?
Or he has been good, but I do think that he's
over. Or maybe Eduardo Escobar if you want something cheaper.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, I got a cheap first baseman for you. It's not as sexy, and he's not doing as well as he had in the previous year or two, and that's Christian Walker. I know he's 30 years old, but he's going to be a free agent, and he is super cheap. He's making $619,000.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting. I think first baseman, I think we've definitely – first baseman is definitely where they need to upgrade probably the most. I think that's a good call. That's another good fit, yeah.
All right, let's dive into the team that's trying to catch them, and that's the Cincinnati Reds. They just played back-to-back series before and after the All-Star break, which was a little weird. But they aren't too far behind. They're 6.5 back, which they could make that up. They certainly could. But they do have some issues of their own. We mentioned that Nick Castellanos, his wrist injury is now deemed a microfracture, which is – it's really a bummer. Everyone's a fan of Nick Castellanos, and we all love seeing him thump, and we love the energy that he brings. Maybe you don't, Matt, because you're a Cardinals fan, but
no, I liked it. I was fine.
Okay, all right, cool. So, what are the Reds gonna do? They have it's weird. They're another team, sort of like the Nationals, right? They're kind of in this: do we buy? Do we sell? And then when you take a step back and look at the team that they have, they've got some pieces. They've got fun pieces to trade away. They've also got some spots where if you added some offense or a pitcher to this rotation, that's fun as well. We've got the Spincinati Derek Johnson mantra going on over there. The offensive ballpark is small, to say the least. So we like the thunder that could be provided in Great American Ballpark. So do we dissect this in two ways? Do we say if they're buyers, what do we want them to bring along? We know that they need a shortstop. There's been rumors that Nick Senzel has been getting some burn at shortstop right now, working his way back up. They could certainly use that. Third base, Eugenio Suarez, I guess they'll just keep running that guy out there. It looks like they are set, or they could be set in the outfield, even with Castellanos' injury. There's quite a bit of depth there with Aquino, Akiyama. They could even put Senzel and Naquin back out there as well to go alongside Jesse Winker. So with that being said, they've got Castillo turning a corner, Tyler Molly, Sonny Gray, Wade Miley. After that, it falls off a cliff with Hoffman and Gutierrez, which hasn't been pretty to say the least. So Brock, I'm going to start with you. Let's hypothetically say that they're buyers. Who do the Reds look to acquire? It's got to be reliever, right?
I mean, yeah, I think their relief corps lead Major League Baseball in home runs allowed. I'm not positive on that, but I'm pretty sure they've just given up a ton of home runs. They're kind of a sneaky DFS target for that reason. If you can, you know, get past the starting pitcher there, the bullpen's just given up so many homers. So I think they could add some bullpen there if they're buyers. The rotation right now, you know, Castillo and Gray, Miley's fine, Molly. I wonder if Molly gets to an innings limit. I think that's does anybody have that answer offhand? He threw 130 innings in 2019. So maybe he's not going to be on that super short innings limit that a lot of the other pitchers are. So maybe he sticks around. I think the rotation's good. I don't know where you want to add to that offense. I think it's an interesting point at shortstop there. Kyle Farmer's kind of been the only decent defender that they've had in that infield. Well, besides for Votto, of course, but I think they could. It's a tough question for me because I kind of think they need to sell. Everything's gone wrong for them. And, Winker's kind of disappeared in the last month there. Castellanos, how long is he going to be out for? Oof, that's a tough one. I am glad it's not my job to figure it out.
Okay, so I want to mention a couple of things. One of the things is if they are buyers, right? They could be buyers, they could be sellers. We're still playing the fact that we're gonna say they're buyers as of right now, hypothetically. They're a team similar to the Philadelphia Phillies. If they do bring in a reliever, that reliever could be the closer. So this is another potential landing spot for Richard Rodriguez, Craig Kimbrell. Craig Kimbrell, same division. So is Rodriguez. Damn. That could harness things there. But if they do end up bringing in even somebody like Kendall Graveman, he could be the closer there. Raisel Iglesias. So that's something to monitor if a relief pitcher does get sent to Cincinnati, that they could be the closer there. So that could be a positive for you. And then on the offensive side of things, you mentioned the problems that they are having at shortstop. How about Trevor Story? If they do look to become buyers and they want to make a bang, they want to just say, you know what, let's score more runs. And we've got the top three pieces in Gray, Castillo, and Molly. Let's score more runs than other people. Let's add Trevor Story. I would love to see that happen. I would love to see him in that ballpark. I would love to see him in that lineup. Matt, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah.
You like it?
It's a perfect fit. It's a perfect fit. I don't have a complete faith that front office will make a splashy move as big as that, but I like it a lot.
That's a good call. Okay. I hadn't really thought about it before. I didn't make that connection, but that is a good fit. They definitely need, shortstop's probably the area that they want to upgrade the most there. It'll be, if they're going to add, that's a good fit. I'm with you.
Yeah. And then Senzel can just, right when he's back, they don't even have to play the game like they did with Eugenio Suarez. Let's try him out at shortstop again. I know that Senzel's had much more experience, or a little bit more experience, to say the least, ahead of Suarez in regards to playing middle infield. But I don't think that they need to go back to that experiment. It's been nice to see Kyle Farmer helping the infield out defensively, but he ain't it, to say it, to say the least, in regards to his offensive abilities. All right, we are moving on to the last division. No. I keep forgetting those damn St. Louis Cardinals, Matt. Take the floor. Tell us what Mosaic's going to do. I know that you want them to sell, but I don't think that that's the case. No. Brock and I were discussing that as well. We don't think that they're going to sell. So tell us what the Cardinals are going to do as buyers.
Oh, God. They definitely need starting rotation help. Flaherty is supposed to return from the oblique in August. Who knows? Those are obviously tricky injuries to portend. I think they need help there. I mean, they're rolling out Johan Oviedo, Jake Woodford. I mean, this lineup is just the starting rotation is bad. In addition to, it's the third worst offense in baseball in terms of WOBA. They essentially do not hit any right-handed pitcher when they're on the mound, period. The arguably the worst offense in the league. So you need to shore up offensively where you're going to go with that. The problem that they've got, obviously, is, DeYoung's been better lately. Tommy Edman, I thought, had a 680 OPS as of yesterday. I mean, he's just I think he's been exposed for what he is, which is maybe a super utility guy, but he shouldn't be an everyday starting player. I think we all had high hopes that maybe Harrison Bader and or Tyler O'Neill could be serviceable, and they've been okay. But this lineup, Molina's old and honestly starting to get fairly a bit lackadaisical behind the plate defensively. If you watch pretty closely, it seems like so many pitchers are getting screwed over with pitches being called wild pitches when they're pass balls because he's just not. I mean, he's old. He's got a lot of miles on those tires, right? So I think you need widespread. You need a ton of offense. Any of the hitters that we've talked about, right-handed, left-handed, switch hitter, T-ball batter, they can all help this Cardinals offense. And I don't know how the hell you fix the starting rotation. I mean, it's not only bad this year, guys, but somehow the St. Louis media just realized that Kwang Hyun Kim put in an opt-out clause after this year. He's a free agent after this season if he chooses to exercise that right. So you're probably looking at a rotation with a retired Adam Wainwright. Carlos Martinez is horrible, and he had surgery. He's out for the year. I mean, thank God we let Lance Lynn go for virtually nothing because he's turned out to be a bag of shit. So, but yeah, I mean, they need
everything. Mozeliak needs to lose his job. That's it. Mozeliak's got to go. He's done too far.
You can have a starting rotation right now. I know Flaherty's hurt, but you could have Flaherty, Lance Lynn, Alcantara, and Zach Gallen. Or you could have Johan Oviedo, Jake Woodford, Kwang Hyun Kim, Adam Wainwright, and a bullpen day.
Wade LeBlanc.
That's right. Because, you know, he cleared waivers and every freaking major league team can sign him, but the Cardinals might not.
Not to mention Luke Voit, Randy Arozarena, Adolis Garcia,
and the big Nagowski. We did get Chasen Shreve for Luke Voit, who was cut 2 weeks later. So that was a pretty good trade. I have
a rental starting pitcher for you, and I think that it'll have a positive fantasy impact in the industry down the stretch, and that is John Gray. I think that they trade for the Gray-White Wolf, and I think that would be a good landing spot for him. So I would not mind seeing John Gray get the hell out of Colorado, even though the splits for him and Marquez are so weird, but I still want to see him get out of Colorado. All right, we're done. Well, actually, what would they do if they sold? Who could they sell, Matt? I know that you mentioned Nolan Arenado being a potential interesting option to sell. Is there anybody else that they could look to flip if they do become sellers? Do they get rid of Kim? Do they get rid of Wainwright?
Yeah.
I think that, you know, Adam Miller would be an interesting arm for some teams, maybe. I don't know. He's been kind of bad, but he's a free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm still shocked that Harrison Bader didn't go in the Rockies deal. Not that he's a huge piece. I mean, that's the perfect outfielder. I don't. What assets does this trash ass team have? I don't understand. Like, it's Goldschmidt, it's Arenado, and who does anybody else want? There's nobody. Yeah. I mean, no one wants Tommy Edman. Maybe does somebody maybe want Tyler O'Neill as a right-handed bat? He'll probably go somewhere and hit 35 home runs. To be honest.
Tyler O'Neill's good. He's good, and he's a guy if they want to kind of hold on to him. I get that. I'd try and keep him for the future.
Don't worry. Yeah. They'll trade him for like a left-handed reliever.
Weird. Tommy Edman is – this is – if you combine last year and this season, Tommy Edman's just a 250 hitter, which is super strange for a guy that, you know, doesn't really strike out that much. Kind of
it
weird.
Is fucking maddening to watch him roll over every ground ball to second base is left handed. I swear I'm gonna beat my dog the next time I see him do it. It is so frustrating. PETA, please don't come after me. It is so frustrating. He hits the same 18 hop ground ball to second base. I don't get it. I don't understand.
He's close to a 100 run pace season. He's hitting about 10 points above the average. In regards to batting average, and he has 16 stolen bases. So for all the shit that you guys want to give Tommy Edman, he's been a legit, or at least a legit two-cat contributor and hasn't hurt you in the batting average this year. He's been a little bit of a help, not too much, but sad to say that a 255 batting average is something that is helpful. All right, so we don't know what the fuck the Cardinals are going to do. So we're going to get out of the NL Central. I've been trying to do that for the last 15 minutes. And we're going to move on to our final division, and that is the NL West, which is arguably the most fun and entertaining division right now moving forward, going down the stretch. I know the AL East is pretty hot with the Red Sox, Rays, and Yankees, and the Blue Jays, but looking at the San Francisco Giants, the Los Angeles Dodgers, and the San Diego Padres, you have three teams in California that are all vying for the NL West title in 2021. They are all going to be in the buyer's market. They all have the financial flexibility, and all three managers in Preller, Zaidi, and Andrew Friedman are all going to just, they're all going to go hard, right? These three teams are going to go hard, or at least we think they are. And so let's start with the team that is in first place, and that is the San Francisco Giants. They are 60-35. They lead all of Major League Baseball with the best record at a 632 win percentage. The Los Angeles Dodgers are two games back after Kenley Jansen blew the save opportunity last night in the ninth inning. So now the Dodgers are two games back. We mentioned all three of us would actually like to see or would agree that Starling Marte would be a nice fit for the San Francisco Giants. What else are the San Francisco Giants looking to add? Brock, Freddie, we'll start with you. Go ahead. No, go. Oh, Freddie Freeman. There's another Freddie Freeman.
Freddie Freeman.
Go ahead, Matt. Okay.
What about Freddie?
There you go. I love it.
This knee with Belt is honestly concerning for me. 33, ending age 34 season. You know, I think Brandon Crawford comes back quickly. The other spot to me that sticks out the absolute most for them is what's going on with Evan Longoria's shoulder. They've been playing Wilmer Flores every day, right?
Chris Bryant.
Yeah. Chris Bryant's like the easy button for all these teams, right? Not that you're wrong at all, but.
Well, it's odd. It seems like the Giants, now that we're discussing them, and when you do pull up the team, and we did mention they have the best record in baseball. It's led by Kevin Gausman in the rotation. Alex Wood has been good. Anthony DeSclafani has been good. Even Cueto and Logan Webb, you know, in and out of the rotation off the IL and coming back, they've been formidable. They could use starting pitching help. Everyone, like we mentioned, could use an extra reliever or two.
Yeah.
But when you do look at this team, first base, Freddie Freeman. Yeah. Chris Bryant at third base. Yeah. Starling Marte in the outfield. Yeah. No, I'm not saying that they're going to get even two of those guys. However, what I am saying is this team is in the running. They do have the money. They could very well grab one of the biggest bats in this market in regards to Bryant, Freeman, and Marte. Brock, if they could get one of them, who should they grab, or who would you like to see them grab?
Yeah, I think we made the point earlier with Starling Marte being just a really good fit there on offense. You know, they've got some good left-handed bats, and Posey's not in there every day or whatever. So a good right-handed bat's a good fit up there. Big fan of Joey Gallo, and I think he makes sense for just a lot of teams. Like I mentioned earlier, really good players are going to make a lot of sense for a lot of different players, a lot of different teams there. The thing for me with the Giants is, you know, they're good this year. They're good a little bit sooner than I think they expected to be. They've got some big time prospects that are on the cusp that'll be there soon. I think that they need to be looking at this through the lenses of, you know, we're competing this year. We need to compete next year. You know, we need to be ready for next year as well. We need to do those things at the same time. That entire starting rotation, with the exception of Logan Webb, is going to be a free agent at the end of the year. Gossman's a free agent. Wood's a one-year deal. Tony Disco, one-year deal. Johnny Cueto is at the end of his five-year deal or six-year deal that he signed with them in 2015. Their 2022 starting rotation is Logan Webb. That's it. So I think they make the most sense for maybe Jose Berrios. I know that you mentioned him for like maybe the Yankees or whatever, but he's going to be around next year. He helps them win this year. He helps them win next year. I think he's kind of a good fit. You'd made the point in the podcast previous that, you know, Kyle Gibson's a good fit there. And I only make the argument for Berrios over Gibson just because he'll be around next year. And I think they could use more than a rental there. So, maybe adding a guy that kind of helps with the rotation now and helps them kind of solve some problems next year is a good fit there. So I think I like the Giants to go for it and, you know, add a bat like you mentioned there, and then also add a starting pitcher that can help them a little bit more than just this season.
Well said. Kyle Gibson is an absolute perfect fit. And I know Justin Mason would be running around in a one string bikini if that were to happen again.
He will, he's regardless.
Quite the fanboy. Yeah, regardless, right. But yeah, Kyle Gibson to the Giants. It's crazy, man. You and I both, obviously, we dislike the Giants more than any team in baseball, but Max Scherzer, any person that you add that's a potential player on the trade block, it seems like they would just be an awesome fit with the San Francisco Giants this year. And it pains for me to say that, but yeah, they have so many different pieces that they could add that it just seems like it would be absolutely perfect there. It's exciting to see the NL West be this thick with the Padres and Dodgers and Giants. So I'm excited to see what all teams do, and it's just going to be a fun ride down the stretch. The Dodgers, they're going to be buyers as well. We've mentioned a few players that could potentially go there. They could use starting pitching. But to circle back with the Giants real quick, the some of the issues or concerns that I do have with them going down the stretch is the longevity and the tread on the tires. We know that Logan Webb and Johnny Cueto have been on the IL off and on. Alex Wood, we know that he's had an injury profile. He's already hit 88 innings pitched this year. He hasn't gone north of 150 since 2018. And we know that, you know, those injuries for him have been a concern in the past. So not only are they going to be losing a lot of these guys to free agency in 2021, but I think the tread on some of their tires could potentially be wearing off coming down the stretch. So I think that they should look to add two starting pitchers, but hopefully they don't get too strong. Right, Brock?
I'm with you there, man. I think that Farhad Zaidi will find a way because he's super smart, but I'm with you. I'm crossing my fingers I don't.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to our Los Angeles Dodgers. They're the next team. They are certainly going to be buyers as well. I think that we are pretty confident that they're going to look to add a starting pitcher. We always, every single year, they add at least one to two relievers for the bullpen. Pretty confident that they'll do that. So looking at the offensive side of things, are they going to look to add anybody over there, Brock?
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think they do try to add a starting pitcher there. I don't know if it's going to be like an impact guy. I don't know if they'll be bidding for those top free agent or those top starting pitchers there. But I think they got to get somebody. Obviously, you know, the top, you know, Kershaw will be back in like a month. I think he'll be fine. I'm not worried about him long term or anything. Walker Buehler's been good. But I think, you know, Julio Urias is probably looking at an innings limit at some point here. We'll see how that goes. Josiah Gray is a good prospect and stuff, but I don't think he's somebody you want to be leaning on in a playoff run. Tony Gonsolin's been good. It's been weird because he really hasn't built up a pitch count like I would have expected him to. They've kind of been just holding him in that 70 and 80 range, not really using him as a traditional starting pitcher at all there. So I think that they could use some help there. And I kind of was this 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when Kenley Jansen was really struggling there and the Dodgers looked good and they were rumored. Man, I can't remember. It might have been Craig Kimbrel. They were rumored to be making a trade for a big closer there to kind of compete with Kenley Jansen. I know that they talked about it. They interviewed Kenley Jansen and he said, hey, I'd be cool, you know, pitch a ninth inning, eighth inning, whatever. You know, they went through that whole thing. They didn't end up doing it, but I could see them, you know, maybe being the guys to pony up the money to get Craig Kimbrel, because I think that's basically all it's going to take to get Kimbrel from the Cubs is, you know, taking on some of the money on that contract. I don't think it's going to cost a lot of prospects or anything, but I think that they add to the bullpen. You know, Kenley's been fine. That balloon save last night hurt, but he's been fine. Victor Gonzalez is not the guy that he was last year. Blake Treinen's fine. You know, a team with World Series aspirations, they're gonna look to add anywhere that they can. And, you know, so middle relief makes sense there, if not even at the back and a starting pitcher. The offense, even with Corey Seager being on the injured list, AJ Pollock is like top 10 in the National League in slugging percentage and hits seventh. you know, Bellinger has to figure it out to some degree at some point, right? Like, he just by the law of averages, he has to like reappear as a major league hitter at some point. I sure hope. But anyways, the offense is good there. Not really seeing like a big glaring need on offense for the Dodgers. I'm not sure that they make an addition there, but definitely at least a couple arms.
A couple relievers that I wouldn't mind seeing them go after. You mentioned Craig Kimbrell. I do like that. And then one of the lefties from Baltimore, Paul Fry or Tanner Scott. Get one of those guys and bring them on over to Los Angeles.
Yeah, I like it. That'd be strong.
Matt, you know that Brock and I are both Dodger fans, so I want to get a perspective from somebody that is not a Dodger fan, and that is you. So please tell Brock and I your thoughts or ideas of what the Dodgers should or are going to do.
I mean, here's a hot take, guys. I'm not sure the Dodgers are going to make the playoffs. Just kidding. Just kidding.
You can unfollow Matt Cufferly on Twitter.
I think they're going to win the division, even with all this craziness. The Mookie Betts situation is a bit peculiar. I don't know what's going on with him sitting out the last 4 days with the hip thing. He seems like he's been missing a lot of time this year. But, I mean, the guy was just starting to get going. And when he's going well to a loaded lineup like that, it's almost unfair at some point in time as far as, you know, what's going on with when you got to pitch to a lineup that's that deep and that good. You know, I think they could. They won't. I think they could go into the playoffs with a rotation like a Walker Buehler, David Price, Urias, maybe Gonsolin mix. But I think they'd maybe want to add for all the arms you guys just mentioned. And you guys are spot on. They'll probably add a middle reliever-ish type of player. Chris Taylor's been just ridiculous. Another combo meal for him last night. So he's been pretty insane. If this Gavin Lux thing continues to be an issue, you know, it's another hamstring injury this year, right? Do you see them acquiring somebody, or do you see Corey Seager coming back and they put Chris Taylor at second base?
Yeah, they have so much flexibility still, even with Mookie kind of, you know, dinged up. They have guys that can move to the infield, outfield. You got guys that are corner infield, middle infield. Middle infielders go to the outfield. So they have all the moving parts in place there. But I wouldn't be surprised. Yesterday they added Billy McKinney, who is a solid left-handed bat, can play some decent defense, formerly of, I believe, the Blue Jays, Yankees, Mets. So he's somebody that I was, you know, kind of happy to see come along. He's, you know, just an added little piece, left-handed bat off the bench. So I don't mind that. And he can play outfield. Moving on to the Padres quickly. We do got to wrap things up. They're in the similar boat as the Giants and Dodgers. They're buyers. They're going to make a splash again at this deadline. We know how AJ Preller likes to run his ship over there in San Diego. We know that Blake Snell hasn't been nearly as advertised. Joe Musgrove has been awesome. Yu Darvish has been great. He's back off the IL. Chris Paddock has been a roller coaster. So maybe they look to add a starting pitcher. We've mentioned again and again, everybody loves to add a reliever. So maybe they do that. On the offensive side of things, I think that they're pretty damn stout. I know that Brock mentioned potentially trying to just pawn off Eric Hosmer to somebody. If they did that, it would be interesting to see if they could bring in somebody like Anthony Rizzo. But for the most part, looking at their offense, I think that they're locked and loaded on that side of things. Are you guys in agreement on that?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the only thing I think is interesting, Matthew, is does AJ Preller have the balls to admit that I think he's got some hubris? Does he have the balls to go after a starting pitcher? Because that's absolutely what they need. But given that, you know, obviously he traded for Clevinger knowing he was, you know, out, but Snell's been bad. Like you mentioned, Paddock's been bad. A healthy Darvish is great. Musgrove is great. But does he have the cojones or the stones to admit, hey, this isn't going where it wanted, but my offense is so good, I got to do something? Or does he stand pat and just say, look, I'm going to do it with the guys that I've got? You know, it'll be an interesting, almost social experiment to see whether he's willing to do that or not.
Yeah, he's got the testicles that are large enough to go out and acquire Max Scherzer. So I would think that he would quadruple down. That is how AJ Preller rolls. The two sellers quickly, the Rockies, John Gray could be on the move. Trevor Story should be on the move. Both of them should be on the move. And then the other team that would be selling is the Diamondbacks. The one interesting thing that I want to mention before we wrap off, because the Rockies aren't buying, but if they are selling somebody like Trevor Story and John Gray, they could potentially get some sort of offensive piece that is a ready now bat. And if that ready now bat is a veteran or Somebody that isn't young and cool enough to not get any playing time. If they do get somebody on the offensive side of things, they will obviously have an offensive boost playing in Coors Field. And then with John Gray, the positive impact for him would be getting the hell out of Coors Field. Moving on to the Diamondbacks, they are going to be sellers as well. I'm just not necessarily sure what they're going to look to sell. I dug into Madison Bumgarner's contract, and nobody's going to want to pick up that thing. He still has a few years left on that deal. And then when you scroll down the depth chart, they've got Merrill Kelly, Zach Gallen, Caleb Smith, Taylor Widener, Luke Weaver, who's hurt. So I'm not necessarily sure with Caleb Smith not being a free agent until 2024. Brock, do you have anything you want to mention on the Diamondbacks front? They could look to move Eduardo Escobar. I know that he's a piece that could go somewhere. He's not the sexiest of players. So if Eduardo Escobar does go somewhere, yay for him. He gets to play on a contending team. But I don't know how much more his fantasy value could go up from what he's doing right now. He would potentially hit lower in somebody's lineup if he does get moved. Is there anything, Brock, that you want to add on the Diamondbacks before we close out?
Not really a whole lot. Not super interesting there. I think Merrill Kelly does get traded, and I think he ends up the return on him. Ends up being like a pretty decent ass. Complete brain fart there. I think they get something decent for Merrill Kelly. I think David Peralta gets traded from Arizona. He's been there forever, but I think this is probably the end for him. He's a rental. He's not super cheap or anything like that, but he's been bad this year, but he has a long track record of being a solid player. So I could see a contender grabbing him as like a left-handed outfield bat. I kind of want to
roll Calhoun. Cole Calhoun would be the one. Peralta's a free agent in 2023, but Calhoun's actually up this year. So I think he would be the first to go.
Oh, I had that wrong then. Okay.
Yeah, flip those, but same point of view though. Left-handed bat, veteran player. Cole Calhoun to the New York Yankees. I know I keep mentioning them, but they need everything, and we know they're going to buy. We know they're going to be buyers. So, Robbie Grossman, Cole Calhoun, Starling Marte, any of those guys would be awesome. Joey Gallo would be awesome fits for the New York Yankees.
Cole Calhoun to the Cardinals for Nolan Gorman, Matthew Liberatore, and
and don't forget Giovanni Gallegos in that deal as well. This was a lot of fun. Daniel Bard would be on the move as well. Absolutely.
And that opens up a closer spot in Colorado. Maybe Michael Givens, maybe, who knows?
There you go. Yeah, so when Daniel Bard does get traded, he won't be the closer on whichever team he does get moved to, but there would be an open spot for save opportunities in Colorado. This was a lot of fun. We have discussed the idea of maybe doing a live stream an hour or two before the trade deadline locks or while trades are going on that morning. So I will collaborate with both of you behind the scenes to see if we can put something together for that. We thank you guys so much for listening. If you haven't already, please click the subscribe button. Leave us a rating and review. You can follow myself. I'm Matthew Davis. You can follow me on Twitter @_MattyWood_. You can follow Brock on Twitter @BrocknessMonster. And you can follow Matt Kupferle on Twitter @MKupferle. We will be back next week. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast with the two Matts. Please rate, subscribe, and review the podcast. And we hope you listen again soon.